This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Now, on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by the law offices of Pond, Lehocky, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause.
And a good evening, everyone, and welcome into this holiday weekend edition of The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. J. Doc has taken the weekend off, but it's a special show. It's our President's Hour with the president of the AFL-CIO, Pat Iding, joining us for the full hour. And Pat, I welcome you in on this holiday weekend here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. There's never enough time, Pat, in the hour. We're so grateful to get you for an hour, but there is always a full agenda. But before we jump into it, welcome in, sir. And I hope you're enjoying this holiday weekend as best as can be expected, given everything else.
Well, that's probably a good broad entrance, Joe, because it is as good as we can expect it right now. And there's a lot of things to hope for. You know, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. There's a lot of, I think one of the things that we should have and did hopefully think about was the folks that are out there trying to save our families and our friends' lives. And hopefully they'll have the support they need. I'm talking about nurses and healthcare workers to be able to have hours that are not going to put them in a bed themselves. So there's a lot to be thankful for what the work they're doing, but there's an awful lot that we have to make sure we stay conscious of and work on. And at the very least, care about each other and wear a mask and be safe. I think this is a time in America where people just need to step back and reflect on how much they care for each other in this country, and they can show that by just being a little safe. And it's just hitting too many people for that consciousness not to be there. So,
I started off
a little bit of a downer. I didn't mean to, but
no. But well said and well stated, Pat. I mean, we're coming to the Delaware Valley tonight, post Thanksgiving. Everybody celebrated their holiday on Thursday. We sat around as a family and shared and appreciated and talked at length about all that we're thankful for, all of those individuals that we're so thankful for what they're doing during this time. And in some ways, Pat, it was a very different Thanksgiving because of COVID and everything else that's happening. We're used to being with 25 to 30 family members. So it was more intimate, but the end result was the meaning, the thankful meaning never got lost.
You're right. It was so much different, being isolated in some cases where it's just a couple, which is not a bad thing, by the way. You come together a little bit closer, I think, in times like this, even when you can't be holding hands and kissing each other, because you recognize how much you miss somebody and how much you love people. And so that in itself is good that you something's bringing it to our attention, as bad as things are, that someday we're going to get over this, and we have to remember how lonely it was during these times and reflect that as we go forward. Just tell somebody you love them, maybe a little pat on the head sometimes when somebody does something good, and let's not be as angry as we can be at each other, because if we're sitting around as we were Thursday holding hands and saying a prayer, we should be thankful that we were able to do that. So many people couldn't through these bad times. So we have to make sure we take positive out of negatives and think about the future. So it was still a good Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is such a great holiday because it doesn't reflect anybody's religion or anybody's biases or anything. It's just a good love your family, love each other, love your friends kind of day. So hopefully folks were able to get out of that as much as they could. And just take the good from that and go forward, because we are going to get to a day And I know it seems hopeless at times, but we are going to get to a day where we'll be able to do all those things in groups again, and hang around a picnic table or the dinner table. So stay positive. We have to. Now, having said that, I have to tell you that we lost a great labor person this past week. Folks may or may not know Jim Moran. The name Jim Moran, the labor movement, has been around for 30 plus years. Joe, I think he literally started what we call Philipposh here in Philadelphia, which is a nonprofit group that works every day for protecting the safety and the health of workers. He was so engaged in fight for OSHA, for workers on the job, safety for workers on the job. Right to know, I have to tell you that, in the 80s when I was representing the insulators, we were fighting hard to have some sort of legislation that one recognized the asbestos was so bad and how bad people were handling it when they were taking it out of buildings and contaminating so many people. We fought with the councilman, David Cohen, whose name is from the past. And, some folks looked at Councilman Cohen that he was so far left that you couldn't see him at times, but he was a champion of the people. And so was Jim Moran. So Jim and Philipposh in a group, I met with them and said, listen, I want help getting this bill passed. And I reflected my comments to Jim about a week or so ago before he passed, about how it was a little new for me coming from the building trades with a crowd of us walking around city council on the fourth floor, or city hall rather, on the fourth floor, carrying a casket to make the point that people are dying from this asbestos. And the outcome was, because of him pressing and pressing and supporting that he gave, we wound up with the best asbestos bill in the country, quite honestly. I don't know where it stands now in comparison. I've been away for a few years, but Philadelphia was a leader in that. And that was stuff that Jim was involved in. And, he was always there with worker safety, champion worker safety. He created a really strong Memorial Day at the end of every April here in Philly, where there would be 300 plus strong people come and reflect on families who lost a member during the year, and wound up with a procession and throwing flowers into the Delaware River. So those kinds of things. But May Day is something that we all should remember and we all should reflect on. Jim made sure that in Philadelphia it was a day that people recognized and knew of and knew why it was there. And I can also reflect when 18 years ago, when I first came over here to the Philadelphia Council, they had a group called the Tri-State Labor Day Group. And the history of the Labor Day parade was that for years it was a big parade in Philadelphia. And for some reason or other, it started to fall by the wayside. Jim and a couple of folks who were also championing it tried to pull it together, and they had been doing it for the last few years, but it wasn't growing. And they came and they challenged me as the new president of the council, what are we going to do about it? And the history of that is that because of him and his partnership, Tri-State Labor Day Parade, the last year that we were able to parade, we were 10,000 strong. And recognize it as our day. And that was because he insisted this is Labor's Day. We have to be recognized. And it's just, I mean, these are highlights that I knew him from, but he was relentless when somebody needed had an issue or somebody needed help or folks on a job were having a problem. Like I said, right to work, when folks would fight against those things. And I think Swiker was the guy that put a bill out to go against it, and I think Jim led a crew to Swiker's house, and the bill went through. It's right to work as we know it today. So right to know, rather. So just want to say a minute for him. You know, he passed this past week, and he had been sick for a while. But there's a lot of folks who will hear this radio show will know who Jim Moran was, and will know some story similar to that I related to that Jim was involved in.
As we go to the commercial break here in the opening segment of the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause, it's a special one-hour edition of the President's Hour with Pat Eiding, President of the AFL-CIO. Pat will do something for Jim Moran and for his family and for all of those who will remember that story. In the radio business, radio silence is something that is not often heard. So as we go to our first commercial break, we'll go to the break in silence in memory of Jim Moran.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Plumbers Local 690, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, Iron Workers Local 401, and SEIU Local 32BJ District 1201. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
This whole nonsense about not giving workers the right to organize with so-called right to work, that's bad. Something like that comes to my desk, I'll veto it, not just because I'm a Democrat, not just because I'm pro-labor, but because I know for a fact that's not very smart.
And back here on The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause, as we come to you on Thanksgiving weekend, we hope that everyone around the Delaware Valley is safe, maintains thankfulness on this incredible weekend. And if you happen to be on the road, as I tell my kids all the time, look for indicators on the road and keep your self safe. It's the special 1 hour edition of the President's Hour, Pat. Lot to cover. We'll never get it all in, as we never do. And sometimes hard to figure out where to begin. I approached in my show prep, getting ready for the show today. I wasn't quite sure which direction I wanted to go with you. I want to cover what's coming in 2021, because I feel as though we're at that point, obviously, in November going into December, where that's going to be on the front burner. I want to take a moment to thank labor, because at this particular time every year is, as you know, is when the labor community really stands tall for the community, taking care of everyone in need. There's just so much to cover. I'll flip to you and let you begin, but I do want to make sure that I reference that. This is labor's time every year, unconditional commitment from the entire community.
And Joe, you're absolutely right. And there are probably too many that if I start trying to name all the different things, I'm going to miss somebody, and that wouldn't be like it. Whether it's toys for tots or whether it's turkeys, I know Joan in my office here. Every year, she tries to collect enough money through donations and whatever we can afford to give families a Christmas. And she actually goes out of her way to try to find out what those families need, and then she goes and shops for them. And it's been a little bit difficult this year because of restrictions, but she wouldn't let any stone get unturned. She was down in Delaware a week ago shopping for these families, and she'll know, each individual family. It'll be a personalized situation, whether it's certain toys just a couple kids wanted, or if it's some other need. And that's just one small example. The different unions that are around, as you said, and the nonprofits, the UAC, and so many different people. It's great. It's great because those things probably we should do all year long, but it gets emphasized when it gets around a holiday like we just had it and those kinds of things. But I'm trying to kind of break off of Jim Moran's the sad moment, but by the same token, Joe, I want to mention a couple of things that are going on. We have a terrible time. I don't need to tell you that. Nobody listening has to be told that. But so many people who are out of work, the unemployment is going to run out for many of those people probably the day after Christmas. But as we turn this thing, and I think it will turn, and we talk about 2021, I think we'll see that happen. But we have some legislation always in city council for protection of workers, similar to what Jim Moran did. There's three bills now, and it's kind of odd. People wouldn't think about this. But these bills are to protect workers. So when they do get called back to work, or they should get called back to work, somebody else doesn't come and take their job. There's a tendency sometimes for employers, having workers, they're 17, 18 years, they may have a little bit more benefits than other people, maybe make a little bit more salary because they were loyal workers and they made more. And then the employer, instead of hiring them back after something like this, goes and hires new workers to replace them. So these bills, they need to be fleshed out. The hearing was the other day. They need to be fleshed out. But they're all about making sure that those folks who've been out of work and, some of them going back for a day and then laid off again, whatever the circumstances are, we need to protect their jobs so they have a job to come back to. If somebody, it's bad enough that they lost all this time, but somebody doesn't replace them in a job they may have had 15 or 20 years. You know, and that's in the hotel business. It's in other businesses that folks come to the ballparks, and those folks, all these workers, people don't think about. They see them every time they see a ball game or they go to a hotel. But many of them, because they don't have protection of a collective bargaining agreement or some kind of protection, they may lose their job completely because somebody will go around them. So these bills really are nothing, and they should pass, and they should pass well, because nothing more than protecting the right of those people to have their own job back. And so these are one of those things, I spoke with Moran, these are one of those things that folks don't realize, that us as labor people, because we have the sanctity of a collective bargaining agreement, don't always think about this, but we kind of remember those workers. And some of them probably do have a collective bargaining agreement, but maybe not as strong as it could be or whatever the reason. But these laws, and it's not to go forever. It's just to get over some time period where folks can go back to some normalcy. So these are three bills that I know that our council people, Helen Jim and Johnson and Squill, I'm going to name names and drop somebody on. I don't mean to do that, but there's enough support for this kind of protection. And, we've done other things like this before at City Council, and Philadelphia is kind of known for it. So much so the folks upstate try to take that right away from us because they don't want to take care of workers like this. But, if you think about it, who we don't know where this is going to be. We don't know where it's going to be this year. We see some great work with these different tests that are being taken that possibly we'll have something to like a flu shot kind of thing where eventually we'll take care of things. But right now we got to be conscious. And I commend the city council people, especially Helen, for thinking of these things ahead of time.
Yeah, no, Pat, it's one. And Pat, it's one of those examples that I always ask the audience to imagine what it would be like if we didn't have unions. And for those that are protected by a collective bargaining agreement, or for those that find themselves in a position where they don't have to be afraid that they're going to not be able to return to work because their position's going to be filled by someone at a much lower pay scale, et cetera, et cetera. That's more meaningful today, Pat, I think, than it has perhaps, I don't want to say than ever before, but it's more magnified right now because of COVID-19.
Yeah, the numbers of people who are in these terrible situations is amplified so much because of this COVID thing. But it does go on all the time. And, much of this happens without the conscious thought of other folks, whether it be city council or somebody else. But when it comes to a situation like this, that we're all in the same pot and we don't know when they're going to do something in Washington, to try to carry this over. The initial stimulus carried it over for a certain amount. But again, when that all took place, and I'm conscious of the employers and I'm conscious of small business that need the help. But at the same time, these little avenues that we don't think too much about, these folks could be hanging out there, waiting and hoping that the day's going to come, things get better, and then find out they don't have the job that they had before. So it's important stuff. And, I'm very, very optimistic that we'll get these pieces. The biggest concern we have to have, which happens at the hearing, amendments, and you can amend the thing where it wasn't worth the effort if you're not here.
Yeah, right.
So, it's a work in progress, but they're the kind of things that, this is going on, that not only is still going on, that kind of need, but it's, again, we said it three times, it's amplified because of the situation.
It's the President's Hour with Pat Eiding, President of the AFL-CIO, here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Pat, we have 2 minutes until we get to the commercial break. I did want to ask you to comment, just follow up on that, and comment on just the union community in general. The building trades, as set the benchmark for the country on how to work through COVID-19, how to do it right, how to do it safe. I feel as though the community, the union community, is going to be looked at again for that same direction.
Joe, and that's a good point, because I know there's a great cooperative effort going on now between the contractors, construction people, but it was really the building trades, the leadership of the building trades, who said at one point, wait a minute, you know, they're hearing the numbers from New York, they're hearing the numbers from North Jersey, wait a minute, and we're going to take a 2-week sabbatical, and let's see what we can do to make sure these jobs are safe and we're going to continue. So, you know, I think the governor and the mayor, people recognize that during this terrible surge right now, construction is still going on because of the work they did back then. And when they came back after those 2 weeks, they were getting temperatures on the job. It was a cooperative effort with the employer. The employer recognized it. The employer and sort of the building trades put a list together of things that are required if you're going to have a safe job. And you can imagine, I mean, you had the casino job and the Penn First job with 600-800 people on them, working sometimes 2 or 3 shifts, but getting very few cases because they're working safe. So that's a good example for the rest of the world. Now, on the other side of it, Joe, we have a lot of folks that didn't have any opportunity. They couldn't do anything in the entertainment business, whether they wanted to be safe or not. There was nothing there to do.
Yeah.
And I think probably better than 2/3 of the business of hotels and those kind of things. You know, they didn't have an opportunity. What we've tried to do here as a good labor movement thought up, whenever we could find or locate jobs that were available, whether it be through Philadelphia Works or whatever else, and we would get the information and try to disseminate that out. So, you know, some folks who just couldn't stay or for some reason didn't have unemployment or, you know, similar to the entertainment business, were somewhere out of work, to see if there was something that they, you know, the city had hired some people during the census, the city had hired some people to turn things around in the election. And so wherever we could find those kinds of things, we try to get that out, not just, you know, for labor people who, you know, who had a collective bargaining agreement who were out of work, but all folks are out of work. So that's something we can do as a community. That's something we can do when you get into these bad times. But, you know, my hat's off to the leaders, and not just John, but the hat's off to the leaders of both days. They had to go to their members and say, look, you're going to be out of work for 2 weeks because we got to get this right. And, you know, subsequently, they, as you just described, they have an example that's pretty much went across the whole country to the National Building Trades.
This is The Labor Show with Jaydock and Krause here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's a Thanksgiving weekend special with the president of the AFL-CIO, Pat Iding. Back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Iron Workers Local 405, and Steam Fitters Local 420. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
We're going to try to work with Republicans in a bipartisan way to find solutions to what really is not working.
And back here on The Labor Show with Jaydock and Krause, as we come to you here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Yes, Pat, Jaydock has exercised his stipulation in his collective bargaining agreement that gives him the holiday weekend off. So we shout out to Jaydock. I hope he's having a great, relaxing weekend. From what I gather, from what I understand, he's doing absolutely no broadcasting at all for the entire weekend. And for the benefit of us all, that might be a good thing. So.
Well, I don't know what he's going to do. He's probably going to have to suck on some salad drops or something like that to keep his mouth moist so he's not talking. But, yeah, he'll miss us as much as we're missing him. That's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, so, you know, we were we're talking about what's going on now and how bad it is. But the thing is, the comment that we hear all the time is, we'll get over this, we'll get around this. There's the truth there, and you know, you can see now with the various companies coming up with some kind of a treatment that's going to have some, you know, 90% or 95%, and it looks like they could come out earlier, and then, you know, hopefully that takes care of the frontline people, and so, you know, we're really optimistic on the health end, and I think that we have to look forward to, you know, a new administration. And this sad situation that we're in right now with a president that doesn't want to recognize what he considered a landslide 4 years ago, an election, and the American way of doing things. And it just personified what we put up with for his time through this whole 4 years. And, you know, and I personally tried to glean some good out of what he did and didn't do, you know, try to balance something about, you know, the trade and things like that. You know, maybe he's extreme, but, you know, we needed something. It's got to give it benefit of the doubt as much as I could. So it is what it is. And, you know, it's a statement that we can't sleep well with. It is what it is. We have to think forward. And I think we have a possibility. Now, you know, what's going on right now in our country is a terrible, terrible thing. It's sad. The other countries are looking at us, who they've always looked up to, and saying, what's going on in America? What's going on in the United States? But I'll say what's going on right now is the possibility that that election in Georgia could balance things out. And what I mean by that is, and I'm not Republican, Democrat, balance things out so something gets done in Washington. And I think, you know, we have a president now, I think certainly his choice for vice president has been fantastic. I think we have the possibility of working people getting back on track. I've heard for years every president talk about infrastructure. I believe, given some support from both houses, this president will move infrastructure. Which, what will that do? It'll put people to work. It'll put money back into the coffers, so we won't have to worry about taxes, because more people working, more taxes are paid. We'll substantiate what we need for and make sure we can save our Social Security and those kinds of things. So I think there's a whole lot to look forward to. I just wish we could get over the stupidity that's going on right now, and so we could move forward in the right way. You know, people forget, you know, President Obama came down, knocked on the door, and sat down with this President Trump, but in the early days, without ever having to be forced or anything else, just because it was the right thing to do. And all through history, we've seen this. No matter how bitter an election was, it came time the transition was done properly. So I think what you're seeing here is that the president and the administration he's going to have is going to try to do the things that he said he was going to try to do, whether it's health care and, you know, and never mind the services stuff. He's not going that way. That was a political comment to try to get the votes. But the key here is, if we could balance the Senate by winning Georgia, and people should pay attention to that, just because we're in Pennsylvania, we can help in Georgia. And then what we have, hopefully, is folks that will sit down at the table and try to move some things. If we could put people to work, that'll take care of a lot of our sicknesses, our ills. I know darn right well that in this administration, if we can get some sort of commonality between the two houses, we could have labor laws that we've been fighting for a long time. I mean, they, you know, even under Obama, we fell short in workers' rights. And, this president, through his time, has through appointments, through Secretary of Labor, through the Secretary of Education, through those, has just deteriorated workers' rights so bad without it really being noticed by some of the folks who vote for them. I mean, there's a whole lot there that I think we can pull together. I think the future for 2021 looks bright now. I'm emphasizing the vote in Georgia only because of balance, not because of, you know, I want to be a Republican or Democrat. What I want is I want workers to have a place to go to work, make a decent wage, and pay the taxes so we can offset the balance of the budget that we need. There's so much that can happen if we move forward. We can't do that if we have one house that's constantly fighting the president. I'm really wishful, you know.
Yeah, and one of the things I think that could be a part of that reality, we've done many shows on it, the $15 an hour across the board minimum wage, Pat, and that I think is on the radar, more than on the radar. I think that is to be dealt with in 2021 by the new administration.
Well, and I have to tell you, Joe, there's on the ground, there's more of an understanding of the value of that, because, you know, in a city like Philadelphia, where, you know, there's an awful lot that we can learn from a city like Philadelphia, where it's the poorest big city in the country, if we pick up and put people to work with a decent wage, they won't wind up back on welfare again. Because if they have $15 an hour and maybe health coverage, they're going to be part of the community and they want to go forward. And, you know, what we learned on some meetings through this past year, even though they were Zoom meetings, that even some of the folks from the business world, you know, the chambers, they started looking at this when they heard it and said, you know, how are you going to pull somebody out of the hole, out of a deep hole, if you're going to give them basic wages of $7-$8 an hour and no benefits? They can't turn the lights on for that. And so I start to see in some of these meetings that I've been fortunate to be involved in, a lot of change in heads has started looking at the minimum wage a little bit different than, you know, it's just going to put people out of business and those kinds of things. It never happened. That's made up for argument's sake. But $15 an hour, I think, is there. I think under this administration, we're going to see that. I think if we can get that nationally, we can take care of the states on our own. But that's, you're absolutely right. That's something we've been fighting for a long time. And not social medicine, but medical coverage for folks who can't afford it somewhere or another. Maybe a job that gives them that little bit of coverage, you know, make it a little bit easier for the employer to give minimum wage of $15 an hour and maybe some health care. There's a whole lot of possibility there if we all come together and think in the same direction. And that's really been, you know, the problem with our, I mean, just look at right now. We need oxygen. We need a bill. We need some money to come down to the employers, the small businesses, for the workers who are going to lose their unemployment. And we can't get the people together. And we don't have a leader that's even trying to get them together. He's you know, how disgusting it is to have all these people hurting and dying, watching the president out on his own golf course. It's sad. It's really sad. But I want to stay on the through 2021 is going to be a different world. I think we're going to take this virus on. I think the smart people in this world have together and realized that we got to fix the virus before we can fix the world. And I think that's going to happen. And I think, you know, there's a good chance some of it might start happening long end of the year to give us a fresh jump. For the 21st of January, we move forward. There's just an awful lot that we have to look forward to. And I think if labor pays attention and, you know, works with the community, for the community, and with the chambers towards that direction like we do here in Philadelphia, I think we got a great year coming.
This is the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's a special 1 hour with the president of the AFL-CIO, Pat Iding, joining us for the full hour. Again, J-Doc enjoying the holiday weekend. On behalf of the entire union community, we send a great happy Thanksgiving out to all of our listeners and certainly all members of the union community and all of the families that make up the incredible union community right here in Philadelphia. We'll get to our final commercial break here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll have closing remarks from Pat Iding after the break.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are brought to you by IBEW Local 98, DC 33, Local 1637, District 1199C, and News Guild 10. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
And back here on The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause, I'm Joe Krause, our number one of the two-hour show with the president of the AFL-CIO, Pat Iding, joining us here for this holiday weekend on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. As you were talking, Pat, in that last segment and covering a lot of ground. You know, sometimes what was popping into my mind, sometimes the more things change, you know, the more they stay the same. Last week, the nurses at St. Mary's were out fighting for their rights, fighting to get adequate staff support, fighting. These people are on the front lines, and I'm sitting here watching the news reports, and I'm saying, my God, these people are on the front lines. Give them what they need to get done. The battles aren't going to end just because the administration changes or the calendar year changes, and I think that's part of one of the reasons why you're so successful at what you do. You're already preparing for what your 2021 needs to accomplish.
Well, you know what, Joe? I'm glad you did what you did with bringing up the Nurses of St. Mary's, and I know that you know, some of the fights that they're in shouldn't really be fights. St. Chris, of all places, where all of us came together to save St. Chris, we failed to save Hanneman, but we all worked together for it. And those nurses at St. Chris still don't have a collective bargaining agreement, and they had a collective bargaining agreement prior to the new company coming in. These are the kind of things we talk about all the time. Folks don't realize. And, you know, when you talk to the people in Bucks County, they recognize that those nurses out there are not just fighting for their own salary. They're fighting for a better way to take care of patients because they're overworked. I mean, listen, I have half a dozen nurses in my family, one way or the other, in my family, my wife's side of the family. And they're out there every day, and they don't miss a beat. And they're in some of the toughest places. I mean, you know, they have a nephew that's in Frankfurt. And, you know, you know what's going through there every day of the week. The folks are coming from Kensington and Frankfurt that are, you know, really don't have the ability to protect themselves, let alone whether they're, you know, they're keeping a distance and that kind of stuff. A lot of those folks are just at the end of their time, don't know where they're going. And so, you know, mentioning the fact that, but again, here's where my optimism comes from. When I look back last week with the nurses, you know, we're going back to work now, but I look back at the nurses there and I look at the community, and the community recognizes that these folks are fighting for them as much as they're fighting for themselves. So a lot of times when we have strikes or we have some sort of a situation because it's the last resort that we have as a labor union, the folks a lot of times just kind of walk by and look at it like, there they are again kind of thing. If you think about the nurses, they've been out there since the very beginning of this. And many times in the beginning, didn't have the PPP and all that kind of stuff that they needed. It, you know, but here's the optimism I have. They're not going to go away. They're going to fight to make sure we get through this thing. And we got to fight with them, but we got to give them the tools. And, that kind of spirit of core that they have with themselves and their patients is what we need to have in this country. We're going forward. We're not going back. And however that, you know, when you start fleshing that out, how that looks, but we're going to get over the virus. Somehow or another, we're going to see, you know, that come down to where you're going to get a flu shot like you do for the other flus. We're going to go forward. We're going to have, I believe, if things come together in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have people in Washington that are going to try to get something done. God bless Joe. I just hope he stays healthy and strong, that he can move it, because he's got the kind of will for people, and I've known him since the day he started as a senator. He's got the will of the people to make these things move forward, and he can talk to people. He's not the kind of person who, you know, makes people have come back at him because, you know, you don't know how to talk to somebody. It's very important to be able to talk to somebody. And, you know, I spent my life talking too much, probably, because I just believe as long as people are talking, things can get done, and they can get done in a positive way. And I think that's where we're going next year. I think we're going to get this virus controlled. You know, it'll never go away. Viruses are viruses, but we're going to get it controlled. We're going to see some movement. I'm really hopeful that in the next couple of weeks, those folks are in Washington now, do something to get us by financially. And that's possible. I think we have to keep looking up at these things going forward. And you're right. We talk about a lot of things, but I think the one thing we have to do now, especially as it's been so negative for the last 8 months, we have to talk about how we're going to go forward and how it's going to get better. And I know folks are out there having hard times. They don't want to hear that now, but it will get better. And, you know, I firmly believe something will happen that we can help the small businesses and the people before this unemployment falls away, you know, the day after Christmas or whatever it is. So I just, you know, if we come in every day, Joe, and say, okay, we can't do this, we can't do that, then that, you know, we're kind of projecting our own future. If we come in every day and say, listen, let's see what we can do about this. I mean, you know, this office here has been, as isolated as we are, it's been going crazy for all the times that this thing has been going on. So hopefully we've helped some people hold on until this thing gets better, and hopefully we'll continue to do that. But it will be a better 2021.
Pat Iding, president of the AFL-CIO, joining us for the full hour on this holiday weekend. This is the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Pat, I have about 45 seconds until I say goodbye, so I'd like to give you 43 of the 45 seconds and just give you an opportunity to extend some holiday wish and some thankfulness. I think it's a great way to end the broadcast tonight.
Listen, let me stay with the theme. Thank you. Thank you for all that we have. Thank you for all that we're going to have. Thank you for those folks that are out there, and I include everybody. I include the healthcare workers, the nurses, the police and firemen that are out there fighting for us every day. We just got to be thankful. This is a great country, and we'll even get over President Trump because we can't. In many other countries, they don't. And this is not one of those countries. This is the United States of America. We're going to build out of this thing, and we're going to be stronger than we are before. And hopefully with the new administration, we're going to have a whole lot more jobs. Thanks, everybody.
That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause, hour number one of the two-hour show with Pat Iding, president of the AFL-CIO. On behalf of Pat Iding, on behalf of the entire union community, and on behalf of the vacationing J-Doc, see you next
time. Where are you?
See you next time, everybody.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show have been sponsored by Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, CWA, Communications Workers of America, and APSME Local 1739, DC 47. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.